1460 KXNO's Thirsty Thursday continues now as we head north to Whiskey River and Ankeny for the Cyclone Fanatic radio show powered by MechDyne. Now, here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry, Brent Bloom, and Chris Williams.
Yo, time for another edition of the MechDyne-powered Cyclone Fanatic radio show on 1460 KXNO. I'm Jared Stansberry out here at Whiskey River in Ankeny. Mr. Brent Bloom.
What's going
on? Hello, sir. You're back?
Back. Where was I last week? I was in Texas.
Yeah, you were. I was surprised because I knew you'd done the game, and then Chris texted me and said, we need to find somebody to replace Brent Bloom. Luckily, we had Rob Gray, and that's like throwing David Ortiz out there as the pinch hitter for someone that is generally like a 150 hitter.
And Rob is a lot more thoughtful. But, no, interesting week.
Yeah.
The Jekyll and Hyde continues.
That's one way to put it.
For the Iowa State men's basketball team. But, no, big night here, right?
Yeah.
We got the wrestling game watch.
So. Yeah, big night here. We will have – we're having an event here at Whiskey River in Ankeny. Come on out and hang out with us at 7 o'clock. The Iowa State wrestling team taking on the Northern Iowa Panthers up in Cedar Falls. We're going to have that on all the TVs in here,
awesome.
The sound on. Should be a ton of fun. Come on out and hang out with us. Support Kevin Dresser's team. A battle of the top 20 teams there in West Gym and Cedar Falls, and obviously a really important duel with when they've got another one coming up on Sunday.
One could say this is the most important week of Cyclone wrestling in...
Since I've been here.
6-7 years?
Yeah, since I've been
two
here.
Two really good opponents, two winnable duels, and could really give Iowa State some huge momentum heading to the Big 12s and then NCAAs. And I'm not – I always like, I don't really follow wrestling, but I'm in it now. Like, this is fun. I don't know the particulars, but I like when Iowa State wrestling is good, and there's a vibe now around that program that's fun to latch on to. It's like latching on to a startup before it goes big. I mean, I think Dresser's got it going the right way, and if they could get either tonight or Sunday, or and if it's both, then, wow, that'd be a statement week.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's kind of in the same sense. I don't know anything about wrestling. Like, nothing. I'm 6'7". I never got to wrestle.
I should have been a wrestler at my height. Shoot.
But it's one of those things where I can, shoot. If you go to, I've been to wrestling tournaments and
shoot.
I hear them say that a lot. So maybe that's just all I'll yell tonight. Just over and over.
Shoot.
But I can usually tell who's winning from what's happening. So it's always fun to watch.
I agree.
And they're a really fun team to watch right now. So everybody come on out, hang out with us. Whiskey River and Ankeny here in the Prairie Trail District. But, yeah, let's talk some basketball. Do we want to talk about the game on Saturday, or do we just is that wiped from our memory at this point by what happened on Tuesday?
No, it is. But it is, but it isn't. And I think that's – what happened Saturday is what makes Tuesday more frustrating.
Yeah.
And this is the thing with this team is if it wasn't for the great things that happened, the disappointments wouldn't be so glaring.
Exactly.
And the lack of execution, the lack of toughness, as Steve Prohm said, the lack of effort Tuesday would not be as glaring because we know the high end of this team is top 10 good and second weekend good. But then the low end on Tuesday – that's get beat by a 13 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that looked like. And it's – Iowa State is not to the level of a Duke or a Gonzaga or Kentucky talent-wise that they can just roll it out because they just don't – they are deficient in some areas.
And you know what we saw last night? That Duke might not even be quite on that
Fair
same
point.
Level. And,
Fair
and
point.
I think that we are if from what you told me earlier is accurate, I think that we'll get into that at some point, maybe later on in the show. But
I like your young person perspective.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think – did you get an opportunity to hear my rant that I went on?
No, okay. Very well said.
And that's – and
maybe
for
get
people,
the Cliff Notes, the clean version,
obviously the clean version. Andrew Downs back in the studio asked me if I was going to replicate the rant, and I was like, I don't think that I could do that. But the Cliff Notes of it is just I talked about how there's nobody on this team that is in the Melvin Ejim mold, or the DeAndre Kane, the Dustin Hogue is another guy that I think of. George Niang, obviously. The guy that when it's time to win the game, he's got a look in his eyes that you know he is going to run straight into that moment.
Yeah.
And there's And it's not that the guys on this team are passive or anything like that, or they don't know what to do. It's that you don't see them rise or raise their intensity level to another notch in the moments when it needs to be raised sometimes. And I think that's where you see things like you saw on Tuesday, where there's four Iowa State guys standing around, and Baylor gets the offensive rebound on a missed shot. And it's because – it's almost because it's like a guy's like, oh, well, he's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's got it. We got all these guys here. Somebody – And there needs to come a point sometimes when there's just one dude who says, you know, even all you guys that are on my team, the other four of you, that's my ball. I'm going to get that basketball regardless of who the other nine people on the floor are right now. And that's what I think that there were times where you'd see Dustin Hoke do that. You would see Melvin Ejim do that. You would see some of those guys do that in the past. And that's what that 13-14 team was not near the talent that this team is. But those guys were just a bunch of competitors, and that's why you saw them so often coming back from deficits, or you saw them – I mean, I don't know what their record in close games was, but it had to have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And how many times they were hitting buzzer beaters and stuff like that. I mean, they were able to level playing fields against more competitive or more talented teams by the fact that they had a bunch of dudes who just were going to do whatever it took to win. And that's what it almost seems like sometimes Iowa State is missing right now, and that's why they lose some of these games against teams that are in that mold, the Kansas States, the Baylors.
Yeah, I think it's well said. And I'm going to, you know, just for the sake of discussion, let me do a couple arguments against that.
Yeah, sure.
A couple things. I think there is a little bit of a revisionist history to that team because you remember the good times, because you remember the outcome for that group in the Big 12 tournament where they had to come back. They had to come back against K-State when they handled Kansas in the semi, and then to come back against Baylor. And they had guys that made winning plays. You're right. I mean, DeAndre Kane, Melvin Ejim, George, all those guys.
I think the way I put it is that especially DeAndre and Melvin, and that, it was actually Kirk Holland who said this to me, they would, like, stab someone on the basketball court if it meant
like that
they were going to win.
And it felt like that. But that's also the same team that lost by 25 on the road at West Virginia, wasn't even competitive. Yeah. I mean, it's a team that went, what, 11-7 in the Big 12. Like, they lost games too. I mean, they lost at Baylor. They lost games too, and they didn't always close it out. And the other part of that is this team has had moments where they have closed games out. Not enough, clearly.
Yeah.
But the Texas game, they showed some toughness at home. You know, maybe it shouldn't have been that close, but Shayok had to make a play. Nick Weiler-Babb had to make a couple plays in that game. Even on Saturday, Shayok with a drive with one on the shot clock. At Oklahoma, they had to make winning plays late. So they have seized the moment at times. Now, do they have a guy that's going to be a vocal yeller and screamer? No, and I agree with you there. Maybe that's – but Nick's just not that guy. I think he's a good leader. And everyone's like, oh, there's no leadership on that team. I think that's a simple thing to say when you don't really have an explanation. Is, oh, there's no leadership, or there's the seniors aren't vocal, or they're not going to grab you like a DeAndre and a George. Nick's just not that guy, but I think he is a leader. I do think he's a leader. And he has maybe not – he's kind of been a little bit shy in the spotlight and kind of deferred to Shayok at times. And, again, they go 7 minutes out of the basket. Like, at the end of the day, you got to make a shot.
Yeah.
And then you can say, well, you know, they're not tough enough. But basketball is a pretty simple game. If the ball doesn't go in, you're not going to win. And they just had trouble making baskets. I do think that in the long run, yes, somebody's going to need – because there's going to be – you know, a last minute, you get into the postseason, someone's going to have to make a play. The good news is I think this guy, they have capable offensive players to go do something, but somebody has to do it. And I don't know. I don't think the world is ending, and I appreciate what you're saying, but I don't think it's just a straight, oh, these guys aren't tough-minded enough to go do it. I think they are. It's just we don't have that history with them yet we had with a George and a DeAndre.
That's fair.
And a Nass.
And I think – I think that presents you mentioned the thing about Saturday. You mentioned the game at Oklahoma. I think that presents an interesting conversation as well, where it's almost, and I think it was Fitzy maybe that first brought this up to me, where you see them have that on the road, and then there's times where you don't see them have
it
at home.
Right, which
and
that, is strange.
And I think that it's almost like they are going into those games on the road knowing – that they have to make those plays to win.
Right.
Because of the adversity that you're bound to face on the road. I mean, it's inevitable. That's just the way that playing basketball on the road is.
Yep.
And it's like that they go into the game knowing this is how we have to play if we are going to win. And then when they get home sometimes, they're like, well, we're a little more relaxed.
Yeah, that's
fair. We know that we don't maybe have to be to the same intensity level because the 14,456 people around us are going to bring that intensity level. And when we need to, we can turn it on. And maybe we've just learned with this team that they're not capable of turning it on and off. They have to come in with that mentality from the beginning of the game. And if they don't have it at the beginning, they're more than likely not going to have it at the end. And I think that some of those teams, you think about that game against Oklahoma when they had to make the run to come back.
Sure.
She scored 20 straight.
Or 20, yeah.
No one's going to pretend that those guys had that mentality to start that game. But it was like all of a sudden something clicked and a switch flipped.
Right.
That then all of a sudden they got themselves back in that game. But those guys, when you've got a George Niang, you've got a Monte Morris, you're left with a little more room for error.
Yeah, and that team was fantastic offensively.
Yeah.
And I think this team's good offensively. But where this team got beat Tuesday, one, they didn't make a basket, but this team has to get stops. I mean, like we've talked about all year, they got to be good on both ends, and they weren't. And, you know, that Niang team, they would get on those runs because they could get 15 points in 3 minutes like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And then
in a media segment. Yeah.
And then the other team's like, oh, no, what's going on here? This team, I think you were talking about Kansas in this way, and that was a great point, where Kansas can't put a spurt on a team like they could in the past, and that's why they may not be as dominant as they once were. And I think Iowa State is similar offensively. They're good offensively. I mean, they're still, top 15 in efficiency, but they're not at that Niang team where they could put 15-0 on you like it was nothing, and then that building gets going, and then it just the ball mm-hmm. goes. Where this team has to be a little more balanced, where they got to do it on both ends, and it was weird. And both the TCU, but mainly the Baylor games, like they get up one with, 6 minutes left, and then they couldn't do anything on either end. It's like it was just a strange deal, and then the crowd starts to lose some hope, and it just kind of fed on each other. Where when George was here, and I think it was your you and Fitzy talking about it. He fed off the crowd. The crowd fed off of him.
Oh, no, I think that was on the podcast.
Was that the podcast today? Yeah. No, that was a great point. They fed off each other, and then it just really got going where this year's team, they haven't had that big old 10-12-0 spurt in a two-minute time span to really energize the building, and that's when Hilton's at its best. Or when Hilton really needs a stop late, and for whatever reason, it's just a different vibe on Tuesday night with – I think everybody was feeling about that TCU game, and the pressure kind of amplified. And because they'd lost home games before, there wasn't that belief factor in the building or with the players as well. I mean, the psychology of it is interesting to me, where those Fred teams, they felt they would never lose in that building. And I think this team may have started that way this season, but once they lost to a K-State and once they lost to TCU, they go, whoa, wait a second, we actually can lose here. And then the doubt starts to creep in, and I don't know. But at the end of the day, I think sometimes we play too much sports psychologists, and you got to make a basket.
Yeah, and I think, too, the thing that made Tuesday so incredibly frustrating was that, you got to make a basket, all this different kind of stuff. You got to get a stop. They got stops, but they couldn't get the basketball back.
Right.
And it's that was what made it so hard, was just the fact that when it came time to get the ball back, nobody just went and got the ball,
you know,
and that's where it's like you're just like, okay, like what, somebody go rebound the ball, and I think that's what had Coach Prohm so incredibly frustrated, was just the fact that they weren't. It's like there wasn't an urgency
to go get the basketball,
and to where when you get that 1 point lead, you get your stop, and then the ball is loose after the rebound, and you don't go get it, and then all of a sudden you give up a three, you're back down two. And then that's when the doubt starts to creep in. And Michael Jacobson talked about this today, where how those things snowball. When you are giving up those offensive rebounds, and it's like, okay, you give up one, whatever. But then, they keep getting more and more. And then just, keep thinking, man, what's happening? Like, why can't we get the rebound? And it's almost – you're thinking more about, man, why can't we get the rebound? You're thinking about, we got
to
go get the rebound, you know? And that's just that was kind of where I was coming from with that thing. And I think that they're going to – the next several days, they're going to have – I don't think Coach Prohm's overly thrilled from the way that he was talking today.
And they're not a great rebounding team. They're just not.
Well, that's just the way it is.
That's the way they're built.
Yeah.
So,
and it's not going to change. It's not going to change.
It's natural that and Baylor was really good offensive rebounding team, whether it's second in the country.
Second in the country, yeah.
So, again, the recipe didn't add up. However, what fans get frustrated about is when they think there's a lack of effort. And it appeared that at times there was a lack of effort going to get the ball. So that it just exacerbated the situation and it made for a really disappointing evening on Tuesday night. And you throw in the fact that Iowa State had just won that game, got them back in the Big 12, and that's why all of us left Hilton Tuesday maybe the most disappointed leaving Hilton in really a number of years. I mean, last year was just the writing was on the wall.
Right.
Like, you're going to lose some games. But
it's like that Tennessee game. You walk in and you know that they're a top 10 team, top 15 team,
right,
whatever
okay.
And it's like, well, this
is probably
isn't going to go very well.
Yeah, and I think just
playing
the
anybody in the country.
The expectations of this team, and then now you're probably out of the Big 12.
Yeah.
A lot of things have to break right. So it was a frustrating evening. However, going back to bringing all the way back to that 13-14, that team lost some games too and redeemed themselves once they got in the Big 12, once they got in the NCAA. And I still think there's the opportunity for this team to do that, to give us better feelings. And we don't remember when that team in 13-14 went on the road and lost to Texas Tech. They lost some games. They
lost to Oklahoma down there.
Yep. So it's just like some of that stuff happens. And you forget about it because of the good times. And this story is still yet to be written.
Are you telling me that I'm revising history after 5 years?
I mean, a little bit.
I know what you're saying.
But you remember that Big 12 because they were awesome. And you remember DeAndre making that clutch shot against North Carolina. You don't forget about some of the shots he missed in the last couple of minutes in a Big 12 game on the road. Like, it's just the way it is. That team was tough. Don't get me wrong. I would love to have a Hogue or a Kane or a Niang or an Edgem.
Yeah, I'd kill to have another DeAndre
one of those
Kane.
Guys.
But is there not another one of him walking around up on campus?
But I think that these guys still have the opportunity to pay for some of their mistakes they made on Tuesday.
You're right. And the bright side too is that I think that this team, as the what they do offensively, is built to have success in that format. Yeah.
And the fact that they are good, they've been good on the road in the neutral floor, bodes well that they don't need to rely on that momentum from Hilton Coliseum. Yeah, you'd love for them to win those three games. Don't get me wrong, because then you're in first place in the Big 12, and man, this could be a special season. But I do think this team still has high-end potential, and the difficult thing about college basketball is it's a one-and-done situation. So if they throw a dud out there like they do Tuesday, they could lose a game like that, and you're like, well, this sucks. This is no fun. But they also have the potential to win, and that's why some national people are saying Iowa State's still a dark horse candidate. Still, and oh, by the way, the net ranking and the KenPom hasn't moved a whole lot. It dropped one spot since Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So they're still in that position for probably a 4 or 5 seed. Everything is still about where it would have been if not for the game on Tuesday.
It's time for a quick word from our friends at Carl Chevrolet. For 40 years, Carl Chevrolet has been built on one philosophy: to take care of the customer. Being your dealer for life is more than just a slogan or catchphrase. It's the way they approach business each and every day. They have two great dealerships to better serve more of Iowa: their main location in Ankeny, and their newest location in Stewart, Iowa, just 25 minutes from West Des Moines. From sales to service and everything in between, you can trust they will take care of you and do things the Carl way. Doing things the Carl way is about integrity, trust, confidence, and satisfaction in earning your business for life. You owe it to yourself to see why they are Iowa's fastest-growing Chevrolet dealer group. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, Exit 90 in Ankeny at The Rock. Carl Chevrolet of Stewart, I-80, Exit 93 in Stewart, Iowa at The Rock. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, powered by MechDyne. We'll be right back on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here with MechDyne. Are you interested in a sales career or working with a world-class team and elite clients all over the globe? Listen up, MechDyne is currently looking for talented sales rock stars with a relentless focus on developing strong client relationships and understanding client needs so that they can make the best use of their technology investments. You'll get to work for an awesome company with a super fun culture that I've seen firsthand with my own eyes. Even better, these guys are hardcore Cyclone fanatics. You gotta love that. So visit their careers page at mechdyne.com. That's MECHDYNE.com. Check them out today.
For the second straight year, Whiskey River, located in Ankeny's Prairie Trail District, is the home of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show for the Iowa State athletic season. Whether it's a Saturday night out with the bros or lunch with the family, Whiskey River and Ankeny's great food, drinks, and friendly service makes it the perfect spot for any occasion. Whiskey River's wall-to-wall TVs make it the perfect place to watch football, baseball, and every sport in between. Plus, you can always join the Cyclone Fanatics staff to talk Cyclone sports on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 at Whiskey River in Ankeny.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
It's time to love your new ride at Iowa's number one dealer for all brands, Carl Chevrolet. Right now, all new 2018 Chevy Silverados are up to $12,000 off. Or get up to $6,000 off new 2018 Equinox models. And up to 17% off 2019 Tahoe and Suburbans when financed through GM Financial. Plus, with the largest inventory and selection of new Chevrolets in Iowa, over 2,100, the selection has never been better to choose from. And with more incentives on all new Chevys than any other dealer in the area, love your new ride from Carl Chevrolet. Find new roads and experience why more Iowans drive a Chevy from Carl Chevrolet. Or find details and pricing online 24 hours a day at carlchevrolet.com. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90 in Ankeny at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
This is Dr. Peter Buck, board-certified orthopedic sports medicine physician. For the past 25 years, I've had the privilege of providing care to Cyclone Nation varsity athletes on the sidelines and courtside. The physicians of Iowa State McFarland Sports Medicine are the official team physicians for ISU athletes. My colleagues, Dr. Greenwald, Dr. Warmy, and I specialize in orthopedic care for athletes of all ages and levels. Need a sports injury evaluation? Find out more at McFarland Sports Medicine.com or call 515-239-4475.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location is, they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seen or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache. And I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day. And man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here to tell you a little bit about me away from the microphone, and that's the love that I have for my daughter, which is why every year in August I head to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center to get my annual physical. Now, I'm only 33 and luckily I'm a healthy man, but this is all about preventative medicine. My daughter relies on me, and I want to be there to watch her in t-ball games, dance recitals, and God willing, be there to walk her down the aisle. Small decisions that we make today greatly impact our future, and my friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center are here to help. Visit them at iowaclinic.com to find a doctor near you, which shouldn't be hard, as the Iowa Clinic Men's Center has locations all over the metro.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Nothing like the sweet tones of Jamie Pollard paired with Childish Gambino.
That's the guy that won all the Grammys.
It is. Oh. He's also won some Emmys.
Yeah.
Phenomenal TV show, yep. Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Will be one of the stars of the new Lion King remake.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he'll be playing older Simba.
When's that come out?
July, okay. I think. We've got Aladdin coming in, I think, May.
And then we got Lion King. All the Disney.
Did you know that's actually...
He did a new Mighty Ducks.
Did you know that's actually like a Walt Disney thing he put in his will, is that they're supposed to remake all their classic movies like every 10 years or something?
Really?
Yeah. For the next generation. Yep. I've read that before.
That Walt was crafty.
He was a smart guy.
Smart guy.
He had a knack for making money.
He did.
Clearly.
He did.
All right, so we broke down Iowa State basketball, and I feel like we had a good, productive conversation.
Yeah.
What do we want to talk about now?
TCU, did you see a little noise?
Yeah.
Probably back Saturday.
Awfully convenient. That always happens to Iowa State. Mekhi Mason.
Magical elixir.
Yeah.
To have Iowa State next on your schedule.
He's important to them, too, just because.
They can't score without him.
Well, yeah, and as good as Alex Robinson is, the best thing you can do against them is to make Alex Robinson have to be a scorer.
Yep.
The thing is, in that first game that they played, Alex Robinson was able to score the ball and do it at a pretty effective clip, which is a little
But he didn't
tough.
In the first half.
No.
But then Noy opened everything else up.
Yeah.
I think obviously Robinson's their best player. But
right.
Noy's kind of their X factor.
But that's what I was going to say. And because of Robinson being as good as he is off the dribble, being as good as he is as a creator, that a lot of teams will zone them.
Mm-hmm.
They need that guy who's the zone buster,
yep.
in a sense, and that's what Noy is for them. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Cyclones zone him a little bit.
I think Iowa State has better than a 50% chance to win that game.
I think they will win.
I think they will win, too. It's not a tough place to go play.
No.
It's 6,500 people. They probably won't have a sellout. Iowa State, again, focused Iowa State and ready to go Iowa State on the road has been awesome this year. It's been phenomenal. And I know that people are down on them a little bit. That's a game that I would expect. We'll find out tomorrow. I would expect it's probably a pick 'em.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a slight Iowa State favorite. And
yeah.
Go ahead and see what you got. Cyclones are still in position to do a lot of good things, and so I think it will be fun to see the response, because as much grief as we've given this group, they have responded pretty much every single time this year.
Yeah, and that's – I don't know what it is. It's just like they need that thing to just light the fire underneath them, you know. And it's crazy to think about and the other thing, you mentioned this before I make my other point. These next few games are really important to Big 12 seeding, because if they end up in that 4-5 line, you know who they'd play?
Baylor. I want them again, though. I don't know.
I see both sides of it. I feel like that team, man, like the way they play.
No, it's
that's
not.
Just that's like not. Iowa State's kryptonite.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and even Kansas State, like Kansas State plays a similar brand of basketball, but they don't do it at the same clip, you know, like with the offensive rebounding and stuff like
sure.
that, where it's just Baylor probably sends more guys to the offensive glass than any team in the nation, I would guess. I don't have the statistics to back that up, but that's just my estimation.
But you just look at their 7 against Iowa State 7, and I'm picking Iowa State like 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Just from a talent.
And I think Chris would say this before that. Before yesterday, if Iowa State and Baylor played 100 times, that Iowa State might win 99. Well, now we'll just downgrade it to 98.
I was looking at that game, because I'm like, there's no way, even if Mason is healthy, they don't have the same guy. Like, when they were in 14, 15, 16, they had some guys now. Like,
yeah.
They had really good players.
Isaiah Austin.
And just go down the line. I mean, Motley was fantastic. He's now
Pierre
in
the Jackson.
NBA. Pierre Jackson. Even
Cherry, what was his first name?
Yeah.
Didn't he go to Indian Hills?
Yep. So they had really good players.
Yeah.
I don't think – I mean, none of those guys are – the.
I mean, one of their key rotation members transferred from Carleton College Northfield, Minnesota.
And the freshman shooter was really good Tuesday.
Yeah.
Again, I'm losing track of names here.
I know who you're talking about.
I just think if Iowa State would play him again, Iowa State would win by 10. But I predicted that the last time they didn't. Anyway. But seeding-wise,
yeah,
it is. And Iowa State can still close strong. 8-5 right now, 5 games left. Some opportunities out there. By the way, you still have a Texas Tech team coming to town that could be top 10 again at that point,
right,
the way they're playing. So some opportunities to then elevate and get those. And this would be a quad one win. Like, you start talking NCAA tournament for Saturday, these quad one wins are basically top 25 at home, top 50 neutral floor, top 75 on the road. TCU's in that mix. That helps Iowa State's tournament numbers and resume. So if there's a question, okay, an Iowa State versus a Louisville, who gets the nod? Well, those quad one wins help.
Man, and the other thing I was going to say, and this brings it back to TCU, think back 2 years ago after Jamie Dixon's first year. Was it 2 years ago or was that 3 years ago?
That's 2 years now.
All the years start to run together at this point.
Was it Trent Johnson?
I would say I miss Trent Johnson. Man, that guy was a character.
He was.
Heck of a guy. Final four coach Trent Johnson led the LSU Tigers.
That's
With Glenn Big Baby Davis and what was his name? Tyrus Thomas.
Tyrus, yes.
Yeah.
All those guys.
Yeah. Led them to the Final Four in whatever that was, 2006
like
or something.
Yeah.
I would have been 12 in 2006. But yeah, no. That first year, they go and win the NIT.
Yep.
And it seemed like they were on, like, a meteoric rise.
Yeah.
Where in 2 years, where we're at right now, you're going to be like, man, that program right there is going to be a force. You had Jalen Fisher, who was a true freshman. Looked like he was just going to be an absolute stud. At this point, he can't keep him – he hasn't been able to keep himself healthy long enough to do too much. And now he's left the program.
Yeah.
He's going to go play his senior season somewhere else. But – you look at this team now. What year is Noy? Is he a sophomore?
He's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore.
I think.
Alex Robinson has been playing college basketball for 6,000 years, and I think that his career is actually going to come to an end this year. I am really wondering what their trajectory is right now. There's a couple programs in this league that you look at, and it's like, I don't really know. Like, where are they going?
Yeah, where's West Virginia going?
Right, like, yeah.
Huggins is getting older.
Where's West Virginia going? Huggins is getting older. You can't imagine that's a guy who will be the coach there in 10 years.
Yep.
You
know? Shaka going to be at Texas?
Yeah. Where are they going? As good of recruits as they've gotten in recent years?
Yep.
There's an opening. Iowa State has obviously solidified themselves as an upper-tier program in this league. There is an opening for them to put themselves, I think, solidly at number two behind Kansas. And you think about Kansas State, who is in that same conversation, everybody's going to be gone after this year.
Yeah.
Besides the greatest coach in the history of basketball, Bruce Weber.
Weird to say Tech, but Culver's probably gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. So, and I don't know what Iowa State's going to have back either. We really don't know. I mean, with Wigginton, Horton Tucker, both in Mox, Tyrese.
Man, I think they'll both be back.
Do you?
I do.
I would be.
I think Talen for sure. Lindell, I'm a little more iffy on, but I think they'll both end up being back.
Okay. I think it's more of a question than that, but I hope you're right.
Well, I'm not saying that I don't think that there's a possibility they won't. I'm just saying if I had to guess today,
February 21st.
Yeah, I'd say yeah. They'll both be back.
Yeah, I mean, still the future is really bright for Iowa State, and they've got some nice pieces coming in. Prentice Nixon's going to be a really good fill-in.
Yeah.
For whatever his role is, and. You know, we know everyone's calling for George Condon. I think he's going to be a really nice player in time.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I thought your breakdown, I don't want to repeat podcast as people listen to this, but I thought your breakdown on Stans and Fitz was really good, where Iowa State is not designed. I know they could play two bigs, and I get text messages all the time, put in Condon. But you're going to have to take somebody out, and him and Lard are basically doing the same thing right now.
But Lard's just more seasoned.
In a perfect world, you could play them both, and you'd be great at the rim, and you'd be great at rebounding, but then that takes away your entire offensive system.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot run the same spreads. Because where are you going to put them?
Find me another team in the country that has two 6'10 guys that can't shoot the ball right down by the basket.
And that's what makes Iowa State unguardable right now,
exactly,
is their versatility. And so if you put them both there, yeah, you're going to be better defensively and rebounding, but you're going to play, you know, Wisconsin games. Like, it's going to be 55-54. Maybe that, I don't know. You could probably find a way to make it work, but you can't do that in 2 days. Like,
yeah.
You're not, and you can't do that on the fly. I do think energy level-wise, probably should have tried him at some point Tuesday just to see another face in there. But it's not as instantaneous as I'll put Condon in and I'll magically, okay, we're good. We've got our guy, and it's just going to go from there, and he's going to rebound. Cam Lart should be a good rebounder, and he was at times. Jacobson has been an okay rebounder. It's really, though, it's not just a guy who's going to magically go rebound the ball. It's a team effort where everybody's got to get a body. I mean, rebounding
why
is
hasn't
not
there
just
been
about
more onus
height.
Put
it's
on
like
these
you,
guards?
You, their guard's got to go get the ball. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. And one big guy playing two bigs at the same time is not going to solve all your rebounding problems.
No. And it's like this, the other thing that people forget with Condon, and I said this, it's the guy's 6'10", he weighs 200 pounds. Like,
right.
You,
he's going to be moved a little bit.
You're
going to
get moved around. And how much George Condon's not going to come in and all of a sudden flip the game by 8 points, you know?
No.
And that's like, that's what I just didn't understand, where this all these people are so fired up. I'm like, man, like, I get the idea of like trying to do something different because guys aren't getting the job done.
That's what it
is. It's just like, I don't know why everyone's so like solidly convinced this is exactly what we have to do to fix everything.
Yeah, and
you're grasping for straws at that point.
You see 6'10 guys, so that guy can rebound.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it.
I promise you, I know a lot of 6'10 guys who can't rebound. I promise you.
It's not a simple solution. I do think, though, Condit has maybe earned at least a look.
Yeah.
And so I would not be shocked if you see him a little bit in the first half against TCU.
I think you will. And I just, I don't know, just with the way they play, I don't know how many minutes is he going to get? If you add him to the permanent rotation?
Because when he was playing, Lard was injured or suspended.
Yeah.
That's why he played. And he was productive at times. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't think he's the
he's
going to
have a good
bullet.
Career. He will have a good career. I stand by that George will have a very good career, but I don't see how that's the magic, yeah, like you said, the magic bullet
at this
point.
And again, Iowa State is not magically going to become a great rebounding team just with – they're just not built. When you play four guards, that is the one thing, and it's been this case now, even since Fred was here, it's the one thing you're going to be deficient at times. You got to make up for it in other ways, and what Iowa State does to make up for it is having that space in an offense where four of the five guys can shoot it, and you move the ball, and you make them guard you. Fred Hoiberg's famous quote, well, they have to guard us too. And they have to, you know, so it's just something you're going to have to give up. And Iowa State's got to get to that point where those guards help out enough rebounding to make them be advantageous on the offensive end too. And I think Taylen Horton-Tucker should be a better rebounder than he is. Some of these guys should be better rebounders than they are.
We've seen Nick Weiler-Babb be a better rebounder than he was
Tyrese
on Tuesday.
Even Tyrese has length to be a really good rebounder. They just got a matter of going and doing it. And a lot of times I thought against Baylor, some of the teams don't give the same effort as Baylor, so the rebounds they thought were there and that have been there in the conference play weren't there for Baylor because Baylor was going to get in the ball where the Cyclones weren't. I think it's a fixable solution. I think it will be fixed. I think Iowa State wins on Saturday.
I think they win on Saturday as well. What's the schedule for next week? You got Oklahoma, I think, on
Monday night.
Monday night, yeah.
And then at Texas.
Yeah, at Texas next Saturday.
Saturday.
You can win both those.
Well, yeah. And then Tech.
Run off 4 in a row to end the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All 5.
Man, did I forget one? Which one did I forget?
West Virginia on the road.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no reason Iowa State can't win out.
No.
None.
Absolutely not.
So,
I think that they – I'd probably pick them to. But
Iowa State
picked them
out
to win some other games, too.
Iowa State wins out. They're 13-5. It would be the best ever record in Big 12 play since Jamal.
There you go. There's the mic drop. Hey, you still got 20 minutes before you still got 20 minutes before the Iowa State wrestling. Yeah, for sure.
Can you please get out to Hilton Coliseum? Even if you come out a little late after you watch the men's game, women play at 3 o'clock, number one Baylor Bears. I think Iowa State can do it.
Have they lost in Big 12 play?
They have not. I think Iowa State can give them their first loss. I'm fired up.
Are you on the call?
I am. Bill Fenley, potentially his 500th win at Iowa State, too. A lot of things going on.
I think
there.
He got his 400th win against Baylor, too, or something like that.
Yeah, it was like his 500th or 600th career win.
Oh, okay.
This is at Iowa State. But get out to Hilton. A couple chances left to watch Bridget Carl.
There you go. You've been listening to the MechDyne-powered Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Thanks, Brent Bloom. Thanks, Carl Chevrolet, as well. We'll be back next week from 6 to 7 on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
guys. It's Jared here with another message from MechDart. Are you interested in designing, developing, and integrating intuitive audiovisual user interfaces while working with a world-class team and elite clients all over the globe? Well, listen up. MechDyne is currently looking for talented rock stars in our application engineering group. You can get your foot in the door at an awesome company with a super fun culture that I've seen firsthand with my own eyes. Even better, these guys are hardcore Cyclone fanatics. So go visit the career page at MechDyne.com. That's MechDyne.com. Check them out today.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
Hi, this is Dr. Thomas Greenwald, board-certified orthopedic sports medicine physician. For over 25 years, I've taken care of ISU athletes and am an official team physician of Iowa State athletes. I'm a proud supporter of Cyclone Nation. As an orthopedic surgeon, I specialize in musculoskeletal care for athletes of all ages, from high school to collegiate athletes to adult weekend warriors. Trust McFarland Orthopedic Sports Medicine and my colleagues Dr. Buck and Dr. Warmy and I for extraordinary sports injury care and rehabilitation. Visit us on the web at McFarlandSportsMedicine.com. Go Cyclones.
Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatics sent you.
For 40 years, Carl Chevrolet has been built on one philosophy, to always take care of the customer. Being your dealer for life is more than just a slogan or a catchphrase. It's the way we approach business each and every day. We have two great dealerships to better serve more of Iowa. Our main location is in Ankeny, and our newest location is in Stuart, Iowa, just 25 minutes from West Des Moines. From sales to service and everything in between, you can trust we will take care of you and do things the Carl way. It's about integrity, trust, confidence, and satisfaction in earning your business for life. You owe it to yourself to see why we're Iowa's fastest growing Chevrolet dealer group. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90 in Ankeny at The Rock, or Carl Chevrolet of Stuart, I-80, exit 93 in Stuart, Iowa at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
Ever since the first footballs were made of pigskin, there's been a connection between football and pork. Today, that connection thrives in parking lots, where you'll find everything from spicy spare ribs to bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin being served at tailgating parties. Once again, without pork, football just wouldn't be football. This message is brought to you by the Iowa pork producers through the Pork Checkoff, who make tailgating more delicious. Learn more at iowapork.org.
This is Iowa Diamond President Chuck Kuba. After 20 years of serving engagement and wedding couples, I can't help but reflect back on the thousands of wonderful folks we've helped and ask myself, how can we be so lucky? Is it our incredible ring selection or the quiet, private atmosphere? Then came the epiphany. Out of all the people in the world, we make you feel like you are the most important people in the world. Because at that moment, to all of us at Iowa Diamond, you are. Visit us at iowadiamond.com or in person anytime. You'll see what I mean.